Lessons from the Lave. Lessons from the Lave. Parshas Nothing. We're discussing Yom HaTzmut today. Of course, we will try to include Parshas Achrimos Kadoshim for those living in Arzenu HaKadosha. And those in Chutz La'aretz, don't worry. We'll hook you up with a little Tazrir Mitzorah action, maybe. B'li Neder. I want to dedicate this year to our dear Madrich, to Menachem Mendel, Ben Masha Malka, Mendel Gordon, the Rebbeinu Shalom, Shesedem Refuah Shleim, Besoch Shar Choli Yisrael. He's going under treatment during this week. Wonderful, wonderful person. He should be zeicha to come back to Arzenu HaKadosha with his Kala and spend many, many happy, healthy years be'achva v'shalom in the land of his forefathers. Amen. I want to also dedicate this year as a Mizmor L'Soda, as a thanks to the Rebbeinu Sholom, after a good number of years we commemorate on this week my son Avishai Leib, who is now, I don't know, let's call it 6 years old potentially. When he was only a half a year old, he was unfortunately deathly ill. And this yeshiva helped very much in my strong emunah Hashem when I called Rav Boaz and asked the yeshiva to daven for him. And it was precisely at 9:28 that I called the yeshiva right after Meyerov. They davened at 9:46. An amazing doctor, by mistake, came into our room. There's no mistakes, of course. And diagnosed our son with a very, very serious disease. It was Baruch Hashem, the machla. There was a refuah for it, and thank God the Rebbeinu Sholem took us mi'evil yontif to a tremendous yontif to be able to celebrate Avishai Leib on this, I guess, fifth year of him recovering. I give tremendous hodah to the Rebbeinu Sholem for allowing us to celebrate in such a way. Speaking about celebrations, this week we celebrate 70 years of the establishment of Medinas Yisrael. You are living through the current miracle. You've lived your whole life, as I have, through that. There are many people who, as we commemorated just a few days ago, Holocaust Remembrance Day, saw Mamash Me'evel Yontif, saw the destruction of what looked like to be Jewry, and then the establishment of this amazing state, and what has happened over the last 70 years is truly, truly amazing. But the topic, of course, for today, to try to get probably one of our largest crowds here, so I won, is was Satmar right? Satmar, of course, most well-known, Notori Karta, came out very vehemently against Medinas Yisrael, as many Haredim, Hasidic sects did as well, but none more than them, than Satmar. And the question is, now we can review. We have a case study of 70 years, so who is right? So, a few of the Rabbeim even asked me what was I going to say? I was surprised. Anybody who was asking, I will answer the question before I even start. That picture that is on the wall is the picture of the same person. It is the Satmar Rebbe's grandson, who was a chassid and became a fighting soldier in the Israeli army. So I guess we were right then. But no, you always have that, so that's not a good answer. What I want to purport today is Shiva Panim L'Torah, Divrei Elokim Chayim. I want to explain to you the idea of Satmar, and of course why I, who am no longer a Satmar Chassid, I never was, but why their Shita was incorrect, and I think there is a fundamental difference in Shitos. I'll start off with the words of Rav Chaim Vital in Parshas Kedoshim, the pasuk that will be, and for those living outside of Eretz Yisrael, so we'll have to wait a week to learn this pasuk. But v'haftal erecha kamocha, Rabbi Akiva says that klal gadol b'Torah Hillel said, this is the thing, don't do this, right? Don't do what your friend will hate, what you would hate to yourself, don't do to your friend. That's kol haTorah kulo al regel achas. What is the haftal erecha kamocha, says Rav Chaim Vital? He said it is to understand that all of Bnei Yisrael are as limbs of one limb, one organ of one body. We are together all limbs and organs of one body. And when one limb does something wrong, so the entire body can get punished from it. Rachman al-Utslan, if one limb is infected, the entire body can be affected, right? When you cut yourself a little bit and need stitches and don't listen to your wife, so what happens at night? So your wife is right and you can't sleep all night. But it's a little finger. Why is it affecting my entire body? I can't sleep because the blood is spewing out, going all over my new red bed. But what's the reason? The reason isn't, and that's the way that we react. We are one Jewish nation. We are one body. And that is why, that even if we're saying our own private Shemon Esrei, even if we find ourselves sick one day in the privacy of our own home, and we say, Salach Li, no, Salach Lonu, Ashamnu, Baganu, we are one nation, we always daven for each other. The fundamental basis of all of Judaism, says the Arizal, is the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. That is the central focus of what we're all about, being together as one family. And it's the same in the parsha we read last week, or the parsha that someone will read this week. The Mitzora who goes out, we say to him, you don't understand what it is to be one body. So I got to do something really extreme. Go out to the Machna. Be alone. Be lonely. Know how it feels. That is not the way a Jew is. We are one. Those who had the grueling task of listening to my shiurim this week on Ribbis. So we explain, why is Ribbis so unique, where you could charge interest to the non-Jewish nations? Because we are one body. Would you ever think of charging interest to your father if he came to you for a loan? Chas v'shalom. We are one body. We can't charge a fellow Jew who is our brother that. And that is the key focus of Medinas Yisrael. And what is so unique and so special about this country is the mere fact that we are one family. And you see this in so many different ways. There are so many examples that I can give. Whether it's the example of one of the rabbis of our community who every day travels far to his rabbanisship, the location he gives shiurim, and he pulls over as he gets on 38 to say tefillas haderech. He doesn't want to say it on the way. He wants to say it quietly. And he says almost every morning a car pulls up on behind him. Right? And if you were on the Van Wyck Expressway and that happened, you start saying Tehillim. And he knows that somebody's saying, do you need any help? I notice you're on the side of the road. That's what Jews do here because we're one body. And as much as we might fight and this and that, right? Road rage is a little bit different here. You scream, you scream, you scream, and then you say, Achi, Achi, and you give up. Achi, we're brothers. I'm sure you all saw the video that came out last week. It must have got a million hits of the old man and the rapper guy who's listening to the music, and he says, Achi, you know, would you like somebody? Don't call me Achi, I'm not your brother, not your brother. And he says, you know who taught us that we're brothers? The greatest teacher that I ever had taught me that. And he said, who is it? And he shows his tattoo. This other guy has a tattoo, and he says, it was Adolf Hitler who taught me what Achi, we are brothers. We don't need that. We need this. We need a Medinas Yisrael. And the fundamental difference between the view of the Satmar and the view of the religious Zionists is that no, we want to be part of the nation. We need to be challenged. Don't sit in your ivory tower and say, I'm just going to work on my own religious life. There's a great project called Project Inspire. It's an amazing, I remember their first video that they put out to recruit people, to have people for Shabbos who are not exactly like them. And they interview people in the streets of different locations. Brooklyn was one of them. And they said, do you believe in Kiruv? And oh, Kiruv is a Groisa Mitzvah. Do you do any Kiruv? No. He says, why? He says, I can't have those people in my house. It's not pasnish for my kids to see these guys. Nobody wants to do it. The religious Zionist says, no, that's part of our lives. I once heard a shir, I believe today was the yurtzeit of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the third yurtzeit. So I once heard a shir, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gave a shir in Tinek. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein spoke about the difficulty of what happened to religious Zionism and where he believed they made a big mistake. And he said so beautifully, it really resonated with me, that traditionally, after 1948 and the establishment of the State of Israel, the Jews went to different neighborhoods. The Haredim went to Meir Sharim. And we lived amongst the nations. The religious Zionists lived with the, not the nations, but amongst our Jews. So you would have this interesting apartment building in the middle of Tel Aviv, with on the top floor a frum guy. On the middle floor you would have a, what we call, chiloni person. The bottom floor maybe an Arab. It was just, and guess what? I'd be walking up my steps on Shabbos after the Sipni Livni tells the story in her own apartment house, and my neighbor would say good Shabbos to me, or Shabbat Shalom. And I would say Shabbat Shalom. And he would say, you want to come for lunch? I'm having Shabbos lunch now. And I wouldn't think anything of it. Nowadays, kviyas das, you're forcing me to eat with you, you're going to make me say, I'll make you a kiddush. And we used to eat all the time. So Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that we moved to a lot of our own communities, our little Efrats, and we moved to maybe our Ramat Beit Shemeshes, where everybody's from. We don't have that same hashba. But that's what Medinas Yisrael did. It was a tremendous thing. Rav Kook writes that when we davened just a few days ago, as we ended Rosh Chodesh, and my many white shirts that I wore, so we said on Rosh Chodesh, when we bench Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, Chaim Shel Yira Shamayim. I want to have Yira Shamayim. So Rav Kook asked, what does that mean? Yira Shamayim, what is Yira Shamayim? We think of Yira Shamayim, we think about the Beis Medrash. We think about the, right, I always talk about, you know, the phones in the Beis Medrash. I want you one time to realize that that room is different than any other room in this whole building. That's not the room that you run by with shorts on and say, oh, it's just for a minute, it's okay, Hashem will understand. It's not a, I'm just checking my Facebook stat. No, it's a different room. That's Yira Shamayim, the shul's Yira Shamayim. That's where I can't speak Lashon Hara in the shul. No, says Rav Kook. Chaim Shel Yira Shamayim is in my daily life and everything that I do, on the bus, in work. That's, I want to have Yira Shamayim. Give me Yira Shamayim there. That's the hardest place. The mezuzah, he says, that we put on the shul, we don't make a bracha on that mezuzah. We put it up anyway. Why? That's not the ikkar. The ikkar is to create a home of Shomer Delosos Hashem. Shomer Delosos Hashem. Shaddai, is the Rabbanu Shalom in my house? Is it worthy of a mezuzah? And we know the places that don't belong mezuzah, that's not appropriate places for the Rabbanu Shalom to dwell. Of course, Hashem is everywhere. Rav Zevi Ronis, I heard him give a shir this week. He's a rabbi from our community. So he was very close with a very sad Rav Runsky, who was the chief rabbi of the army for many years, who passed away just a few weeks ago. He's a wonderful person. And so he tells the story that he was the Rav, Rabbi Ronis was the Rav of a army base. And on the army base, they were talking, he was, you know, gifted very Torah, he's got wonderful, amazing stories. And he says there was a Hester group that there was some technicality that the army was going to let them go back to yeshiva for a few weeks to learn. And some of the guys said, but maybe we really should stay here. We're having a great relationship with the other soldiers who are not religious here. And maybe we have a chiyuv to stay. They were talking it out. So Rabbi Rona said, I don't really think there's a chiyuv. You have the time to get sit and learn in a base medrash for 3 weeks? What are you doing here? Come back later, right? They thought that was a very good advice, but like any good Jew, they asked another rabbi. So they happened to be, they saw the chief rabbi of the army, they asked everyone, they said, who is that rabbi? They told you that. What a horrible advice. You have 3 weeks, the ability, you establish a relationship with these guys, they know you, they like you, stay with them. That's what you're on this earth for. Making a kiddush Hashem. That's the major difference, I think, between what we believe and why Bnei Yisrael was so successful. Satmar believed that they wanted to save themselves anyway, and only through Mashiach had come. This idea of v'haftarecha kamocha, of loving every Jew as one organ, maybe wasn't as much of a central focus as it is for the religious Zionists to be part of the world. It's much harder to be part of the world, we know that. There are much more challenges when you be part of the world. But how many Israelis were inspired by someone who was religious? Out of one action, one deed, something that happened. They tell a story about Rav Kook, where he spent Shabbos. You know, this was his the major, one of the many fights that there were. I don't want to say fights, chas v'shalom, because they got along very well. But Rav Zunfeld, they got along. But he didn't understand why Rav Kook was going to all the yeshuvim. They weren't religious. Some of them had pig. They didn't celebrate Yom Kippur. And he went for Shabbos to one of the yeshuvim. And it was a very challenging Shabbos for him, as you can imagine. There was no, I don't know if there was a minion even there. He had to bring his own food. They didn't let him speak. They didn't want him to speak. And the story is told that when it was all over and he went home, they told him, they were so inspired by the Shabbos Rav Kook spent in the yeshuv, they threw out all of their kalim and made a kosher kitchen. What? It was actually what he didn't do, that he didn't give shurim. They didn't inspire. That's what Medinas Yisrael is all about. That's what we've been able to build. That's what Reishit Smicha Skula Seinu is. It's the birth pangs of Mashiach. Mashiach is through V'yaf L'Reicha Kamocha. It's an amazing article that was written last week in a religious Zionist newspaper actually called Makor Rishon. And it was translated into English. I was very happy. I was actually just found out about it today. I had already wrote the topic, and then like this is it, Bashert was talking to the executive director of the wonderful organization Zaka, and he said, "You got to read the article of my boss, the founder Yehuda Meshi Zahav, writes an open letter to his uncle Rav Amram Blau, who founded the Torah Karta. The article is set. You were wrong. It's like exactly what the answer to my question." And he writes a letter to him, "In honor of my dear uncle of Amram Bloy, the leader of the Torah Karta." He said, "When he was young," says Rav Meshi Zahav, he says, "I was one of you. I was the Torah Karta. I believed in all this stuff. I shouted Chil Shabbos. I did everything that I was supposed to do. Today, after 70 years of the Zionist state, we are happy to inform you, my dear uncle, that your fears have been proven false. We have a wonderful Jewish Zionistic state that serves as a model for all countries of the world. Education, health, immigration absorption, Judaism. 77 million Jews. 50% of the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. In Jerusalem alone, there's 1 million Jews. Which, we're not even certain during most of the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there was 1 million Jews living in Yerushalayim. Who would believe after 73 years of the Holocaust, we were annihilated, almost extinct. And what happened? Almost all traces of Torah and Hasidus were taken out. The state of Israel, the world of Torah, is unparalleled in the history of the Jewish people. He writes, since the time of Melech Chizkiyahu. I heard from someone, a great Gadol, who said, that's not true. In all times in history, there was no more learning of Torah in Eretz Yisrael than there is now. And he says, you know who the greatest Torah scholar is? This is a great line. You'll be surprised to hear who the greatest Torah scholar in the world is. The Zionist regime. The Israeli government invests billions of shekels in the Torah world. The biggest supporter of Torah in the world is the government of Israel. Blanket. Nobody is better. Can you give me all the names of all the people you know? Nobody is bigger than the state of Israel. Yes. Who would have thought what the state brought against all odds? Rav Amram, my dear uncle, the leader of the Torah Karta. See that in the Zionist state of destruction, 73% of its citizens light Hanukkah candles, 78 fast on Yom Kippur, 200,000 go to the Kotel on one night for Slichos. Seven cities are headed by Haredi representatives in government. You are fighting to close one little street. Many streets are closed already on Shabbos. And so beautifully he writes, you write in your, he quotes a lot of the things, this the anthem that they sing in the Torah Karta. We don't believe in the rule of the infidels. Several times a year, thousands of youngsters raise the Zionist state, gather near the remnants of the temple, swearing their willingness to sacrifice their lives for the sanctification of Hashem in defending their homeland, saying the words Ani Yeshma, or if you're a religious soldier, a little bit differently. I affirm. Many tears I have shed on the occasion of watching my own two sons, he writes. One in the Golani, one in the paratroopers, say these words in front of the remnants of the Kotel. Tomorrow night, when the siren wails at 8 o'clock, commemorating the almost 24,000 soldiers, almost the students of Rabbi Akiva that passed away, that died al Kiddush Hashem, that were murdered, the central focus will be at the Kotel. And one of the things I do is I make my kids watch at least some of the program so that President of Israel will quote a pasuk. He'll say something. He'll remind of where we're standing. That's a Chgayish Medina. Who was right? So we believe that we were right. We are right. We're living the dream. The Navi is speaking to us and seeing Yerushalayim be built in a way that is truly unbelievable. People returning to their homeland after years of how difficult it was. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I think the focus is the central idea, because we want to be one amongst the nations. maybe it's not so good that we have, you know, McDonald's here and a Pizza Hut in it. Oh, we're being too westernized. But guess what? It's kosher. Some of them. It's kosher. Okay, maybe. It's kosher. It's hard for a person. A person wants to eat treif on. It's hard. And used to be. I remember when we used to visit Rav Lau, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He spoke about over 400 restaurants that are kosher. It's hard to get treif nowadays. Chatasi ani maskir ayom. It's not a chait. I'm not kidding. I went to my first soccer game. Chatasi is that I went to a soccer game. You know, as an American, so it's a real chutzpah. I went with all my kids. I wanted them to see the soccer game. They wanted to go. I have a little son, this Avishai, the tzaddik. So he loves soccer, football. And we went to the game. So I look at the outlook of the game a little bit differently, I guess. So halftime comes. That's the only time there's a break. And all of a sudden, the section we're in, this guy stands up with a little yarmulke and he goes, "No, my rib outside." I'm like, "Baby, this is awesome." We go outside, and so of course, a tremendous amount of respect. And there was a snack bar, right? All the games have snack bars where you get your hot dog for $85. And it's closed, the snack bar. It's open but closed. What do you mean it's closed? They're letting them use it, but they can't use any of the product. They have fountain soda. They won't let them use the fountain soda. I said to them, "So what are they doing? They're opening up bottles of soda and pouring into the cups." I'm like, "What's going on here?" So the guy looks at me, Mr. Religious guy with a little beard, you know, growing my Shira beard, and he looks at me. I didn't know he was Arab, and he says, "I don't know, it's Pesach. It's Pesach. We can't use the fountains. It's chametz." So like, really chametz? Oh, whatever. He's not, you know, whatever. We weren't having a shayla batel b'shishim, you know. And then another guy comes and he's waiting online. He says, "Hey, do you have any bagels? You know, have you any pretzels?" And he looks at him and says, "Pretzels? It's Pesach. Get a pretzels." You know, it's like everybody knows. And you see all the people at the game, yarmulkes, no yarmulkes, eating little matzah. You can't find chametz if you want to. Every store in Eretz Yisrael, you're walking. They open Shabbos and Yontif. You walk into the store and you can't get chametz. It's closed off. You can't get it. That's the state we live in. It's so bad. That's so bad. Everybody that's married sings in Mishkachech Yishalayim. The most irreligious Jew. They have to say it. A chumrah. Maybe invented in the times where Rav Avadya Yosef brings it in one of his tshuvas. Everybody says it. That's it. Because we're part of the nation. We should be zoicha. You guys should be zoicha that you, who have the ability now to celebrate this wonderful day, this great mitzvah, don't look at the chitzoni part. The chitzoni part is, you know, everybody shilas and yomatzvah. Oh, can I shave? You know, can I get married? No, you can't get married, by the way. It's against the rules of the yeshiva. But, okay, so sphere. Understand what we're celebrating. 70 years. Think about maybe your great-grandparents, what they would have done to see a Medina like, would that be to live in a Medina like this? Nabuch. My grandparents' relatives, brothers and sisters who died in the Holocaust. The thoughts of, it's amazing. Zayom Hashem, Sem Nagilo, Menismechavo. Recognize the great hallow we're going to say, the Hodah we give to the Rabbanu Shalom for this day, because we believe to be part of the nation, to be part of this one body. Achrimos also talks about Ketoris. Remember that Ketoris? Some smell good, some don't, but everybody's together. We should be zeicha to understand that is what we build the Beis HaMikdash. There are flaws. Don't get me wrong. Don't quote me and say it's not perfect. But that's how we work on things. Through the imperfection that there is, brings perfection. I think nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam that we're trying to work on it. We're trying our best to do. We're walking Kiddush Hashem and what we do and how we act. And with that, that will truly bring mechshiach zikenu b'meheiru v'yameinu. Amen.